Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I'm your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Jay Cross.
Whoa, the hokey cokey!
Matt Knight.
The chord of the day is...
And A. Mark Packham.
Sup.
Yes, that's right. All four of us are back, and it's kind of a Black Friday special because Black Friday is round the corner. Admittedly, by this point, as we were getting this close to, you know, Black Friday and Cyber Monday, I was expecting us to be inundated with Black Friday-ness. But of course, as I guess less things are out and about this year, it's a little bit more muted, but there are still some...
Because it's so dark outside.
It is.
It's Black Friday. You can't see anything. You can't see the deals, Joe. They're right in front of you.
Just isn't it Monday?
That's it is Monday when we're recording. You're absolutely right, Mark Packham. But it's lovely to have you back, Mark Packham.
Hey,
thank you.
I like to, you know, pop in on this every now and then. It's it's good.
Well, there you
go. Just to prove I'm still alive.
Yes. And alive you are. Now, before we dive into the exciting things that we have to talk about, all the Black Friday deals and new products, and, you know, talking to Mark about what new things he's bought since he's been away. First of all, we should introduce our new patrons for this week. And making up for last week, where I went to introduce the patrons and then realised there weren't any new ones. Which was very embarrassing.
Good to see the quality hasn't changed while I've been away.
Exactly.
Dips every time, Mark.
Thank you very much to Ryan McDermott, who joins us on our new godlike tier of $25. So thank you very much, Ryan McDermott.
Wow.
He is now our new top patron. Can
certified
you beat him,
legend.
Dear listener? Yeah, an absolute
He actually now
legend.
Owns us, I assume.
Technically, he does.
Yeah.
He absolutely does. So,
what does the godlike tier get you?
He invented it.
You go around and, like, do the washing up a couple times a month, or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. I sort of, you know, give him a back rub.
Yep. Mow the lawn.
Yeah, yeah. If that's what you call it these days. Yeah, sure.
Good. Okay. Well, but, that's nice.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. I thought so too. But thank you very much, Ryan.
Bloody legend.
For upgrading. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, Mark Packham, it's so wonderful to have you back.
Hello.
Talk to us about the guitar that you've just bought.
Yeah, so, I've been away, what, 4 weeks? I don't think I've done the podcast for something like that. I don't know. Who cares? I ended up buying a Rickenbacker 330 in that time.
Oh, what a guitar.
Which is something that I've wanted to do for a very long time. But this one came up. I just got a ridiculous deal on it, basically.
This was very contentious. When you showed us it, we weren't all positive.
Well, it does come with
guitar.
A lot of caveats. So I forget when it's from, like 2007 or something like that. And it started its life as a Jet Glow 330. So
the best colour.
The black finish, which, to be honest, isn't my preference. I prefer the natural. But, you know, the black one's cool, whatever. And so this one has had a fair amount done to it. So the main thing is that it's been refinished. And the way that it's been done is the black, the neck, which is black, and the sides of the body remain black, but they've been, like, sanded back to a kind of, like, satin finish almost. They've just basically taken a lot of the gloss off of it. And the top, the headstock, and the back have been refinished in, like, a... like a blue sparkle, like a almost like a Lake Placid blue, but like a sparkle finish.
A large flake or a small flake?
It's somewhere in between, I would suggest.
A medium flake.
Yeah, in that it, you know, it's more sparkly than like a Lake Placid blue would be, but right. It's not like a big chunky flake. So
I see. More like a 99.
Yes, indeed. Because of that, and the other things, it's had a few modifications in terms of the electrics as well. So the original pickups remain, but the controls have been stripped back to just volume and tone.
What would they originally have been?
So there would have been five controls plus the pickup selector. So it would be pickup selector, volume for each pickup, tone for each pickup, and then the blend control, which, to be honest, whenever I've played a 330 with one on there, I can never really work out what it does. And that seems to be quite common feedback about the Rickenbackers, is like the blend control, no one can ever get their head right. You know, it sounds good and you can get some great sounds out of it, but no one can ever really tell you exactly what it's doing. I'm sure there's a manual out there somewhere you could have a look at. But on my one, it's been stripped back to pickup selector, single volume, single tone that govern the entire guitar, and then some sort of phase switch. Again, the guy that I bought it from couldn't really tell me a whole lot about what it's doing, but it basically just seems to like make the pickups all sound a bit chunkier. So it gives you more like kind of humbucky tones as opposed to that classic Rickenbacker kind of high output jangle. Personally, I prefer it with that off. I might even go one step further and just have pickup selector and volume. I might get another plate cut.
Ooh.
For it. It did come with the original plate and stuff. So a lot, if I want to restore it to what it would have come out of the factory, you know, I can do that. But the backstory is basically, I was speaking to the guy I bought it from, the rest of his band had their instruments refinished in this finish for, I don't know whether it was for a video or a particular tour or something, and they all had this blue sparkle done, and then where possible had like the back and had the sides of the guitars and the necks left in black. And he said, yeah, this is what I've had done. I didn't need all the controls, so I stripped it back to this. And that's where we're at with it, basically. That's the reason I bought it. I got it for an absolute bargain because it had all this work done. And when I got it, I was like, oh, I'll get this. And, you know, because it's so cheap, maybe I'll spend a couple of hundred quid, like, redoing the finish and get it back.
You'd already messaged me about who to go to a refin about.
Well, yeah,
I thought it was a sure thing that you were going to get
Totally. And I was like, okay, well, when I get it, I'll have a look at it. But I'm, you know, 99% sure that I'm going to get it refinished back to black because I think that's quite a cool thing to do. Or get it completely stripped and go for the natural, which is always a bit of a gamble because you don't know what the wood looks like underneath. But the guitar arrived and I was like, do you know what? I'm actually really into this. It's not the cleanest refin, and I think that is actually down to it being quite a thin finish. And I imagine when it was originally done, it probably looked very, very consistent across the whole face of the guitar. But where it's been played and stuff, it's starting to wear through back to the black in certain places.
So it's been refinned in nitro.
Yeah. It's nitro, and I think it's just generally quite a thin finish. And I don't know, I'm kind of into it. I kind of like the story of, you know, the whole band got their guitars done in the same colour, and, you know,
sounds like something Joe Doe would come up with.
Well, exactly that, or, you know, Fender Custom Shop or something might do, you know, if they're doing colour over colour, you know, there's a bit of a story behind that, and it's got that kind of vibe to it. So I think I'm going to keep it as is for the moment. I don't know if I said the finish on the neck has been kind of like sanded back a little bit as well. So it still looks the jet glide finish, but it just doesn't feel quite as sticky as other Rickenbackers I've played in the past. So I really like that. And I'll tell you what, it's probably my favourite guitar that I've bought since I bought my Les Paul Junior in 2002. Excluding my bass, obviously, the best bass ever. But the Ricky, yeah, you know, I've gone through obviously the Casino, I bought that Strat. What else have I had in the past? I've had loads of Tellies. This year I bought and sold the Baja.
Reverend.
What else have I had? I've had a Reverend that I bought and sold. I had that Yamaha. I've gone through so many guitars in the last, you know, 12, 24 months.
The Dan Electro.
The Dan Electro I've still got. Love that guitar. Great for like just knocking around in the living room.
Still got the Casino, right?
I've still got the Casino, still got the Strat. And in fact, now I've run out of guitar stands, so the Dan Electro is now just knocking around in the living room. Just kind of gets placed wherever I've played it last. And it's the perfect guitar for that. But the Ricky, honestly, it's kind of blown my mind how much... do you know what? I haven't had it for so long where, like, I'm sitting doing a bit of work and I'm just thinking, what if I just go and get my guitar and, like, play it? Because it feels really, really good to play. I haven't really had that with anything else that I've bought since that Les Paul, really. And I'm kind of constantly thinking about, like, how good it sounds and just wanting to play it all the time. And, yeah, it's just made me think, like, what other Rickenbackers could I buy? Like, are there more 330s out there that I could get? Should I get a 360? What about the solid body models? You know, whatever they're called, 620.
620, that was the one.
And yeah.
Was that the Onion?
No, that was the 452 or something like that.
Yeah, I can't remember the model number. No, 350? Is that?
No, it was something more obscure. It was the...
Yeah. The John Lennon style one. Yeah, I didn't really like those. They were too small. The scale length is just too small for me. But the 620s I always remember really liking.
It was 350 V something.
Yeah, something like
V63.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But maybe I'll just buy more 330s.
Get a 360. 360s are cooler than 330s.
Definitely not.
It's that bevel on the top. It's just...
No. What I don't like about them is the fact that they're bound on the back, but not bound on the top. Because, I don't know, it's just something a bit weird about that for me, which is why I like the 330. I just kind of like the fact that there is no bevel. It's just, you know, flat top, flat back. There's no binding on them generally, unless you go for one of the reissues.
I wish Rickenbacker would introduce, like, a mid-priced variant.
No, but they're, you know, from what I understand, they're very, very proud of the fact they've never done that. They don't outsource the work. You know, that it's made in the same factory that's been owned, I think, by the same family, I think, since the early 60s. And, you know, again, from what I understand, they even use some of the same machines and, you know, I need to read into it a bit more. But yeah, they're very, very proud of that they've never done a kind of cheaper model almost.
Sure.
But also they did, though, didn't they? With the, because there was the S series, or was that only with the bass? Because there was a range.
I mean, the S was
maybe
a lot cheaper.
The 4003S was... That just didn't have block inlays. It didn't have binding. It was a natural finish, I think.
Yeah,
right?
But I think, you know, what we're really talking about is, like, when you say a lower price model, what you really mean is something that's kind of not American made, because I don't think really the kind of guitars that they are, they're not really going to, it wouldn't really be worth them introducing like a lower price American made one, because it would end up being probably roughly the same money. And yeah, I think they're, from what I understand, they're quite proud of the fact that, you know, it's all US made stuff, and, you know, they've kind of kept their heritage. But yeah, I mean, I'm just so into it now. I watched a video today of Laura Jane Grace from Against Me talking about Rickenbackers.
She's got a 370, I think.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I don't know about that. It was 330s and 360s.
The one she plays the most, I think, is a 370, which is a three pickup 360, I think.
I would need to check that. The numbers are all really confusing. 370, is that a thing?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, 370.
Isn't that the weird one, though?
It's a three pickup 360.
Yeah. In that video, yeah, she's playing a load of them. And what's really interesting is the fact that essentially they're all the same guitar. You know, particularly, you know, switching between a couple of different 360s, it's like these should sound the same. They're roughly the same age. You know, they're made in the same factory. There shouldn't be any difference. They all sound really, really different. I find it very interesting that the one that sounded the best to my ears is the one that got covered in red wine when filming like a music video, like fake red. It wasn't real red wine. It was like fake red wine for this video that they were doing. And that one by far sounds the best. And like, she's got a couple that have been kind of smashed on stage and rebuilt and stuff, and they sound really good. And then like one of the stock ones doesn't sound as good, but another stock one does sound really good. So yeah, it's really interesting to me that like you could have this whole collection of what are essentially the same guitars, and they've all got a really, really different kind of personality to them. And it just makes me want to buy more. I do eventually want to own like a Maple Glow one and a Fire Glow one and a Jet Glow one. Just have them all. That'd be amazing.
Sorry, go on, Joe.
I was always really into the Chris Squire signature model that Rickenbacker did, because Chris Squire, the bass player from Yes, he had a 4001, which he wrapped in wallpaper, and you know, had it sort of like a paisley style finish, and had it done like that for years, and then he, you know, took it off and decided to sand it back and repaint it in like a sort of a butterscotch, which for the longest time it was. I think that bass started off being white with black binding, and he'd refinished it so many times that he'd shaved off so much of the body when he'd sanded it down and refinished it time and time again, that when Rickenbacker came to make his signature model, they had to take his and redo their, you know, their cutout for the instrument, because it had become a completely different shape.
I didn't realize it was a different shape. I'm going to look that
well,
up.
Well, right, you know, when I say a different shape, I mean slightly.
Yeah. But it would be like a few millimeters or whatever.
Exactly. But you know, I just thought it was really cool. They went to all of that effort with the signature model, and then of course, because it was Chris Squire and he's, you know, off his head, he decided to have that signature model like finished in sort of like blue flame. So it's like Rickenbacker went to all that effort of sort of getting
one like
the proportions right of his butterscotch one, and he was like, yeah, can you make it blue flames?
I like it. I'm just looking at a picture of him now playing something completely different.
Oh, but he has some crazy stuff. He had a cool double-necked Ricky for a while, but he's had some awesome.
This one is like some weird carved top green thing with like carved pinstriping and one of the smallest headstocks I've ever seen.
Right. Have you seen his triple neck?
I haven't.
He's got like two Mustang style pickups, and then it's a mandolin on the top.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It looks like a guitar on top and then two basses.
Yeah.
Why do you need two basses?
Chris Squire,
Why do you need one bass?
Well, hey. Sure. but yeah, in summary, I think I'm just going to become addicted to collecting Rickenbackers to the point where
that sounds awesome.
I was looking at the Casino and the Strat earlier, and I was like, oh, those two. If I sold those two, that would equal another 330.
Would you get a 480?
What's the 480?
The 4001 guitar.
Oh, no, I don't really care about that. I'm all about the semi-hollow guitars. As we've discussed over the last few times I've been on the podcast, like, I'm pretty much shifting almost entirely to having like semi-acoustics. Just because I just really like them. And
really like the Beatles. Oh,
I love the Beatles.
Mark Packham. Oh, I like the Beatles.
Yeah, well, if you think about it, recently I've bought a Casino, a Blue Strat, and a Ricky. So I think that says something.
Have either of you owned Rickenbackers?
No.
Matt?
No. I came close to buying a 620, but I never did it.
Introducing the Eventide Black Hole Reverb Pedal. Like all Eventide pedals, Black Hole allows players to fine-tune every aspect of the effect. With its new, user-friendly, intuitive interface, just about anyone can shoot for the moon and land beyond the known universe. With Black Hole, users can pick and choose from 5 otherworldly presets to create supermassive atmospheres with the ethereal reverb of Black Hole. Soar through nimbus clouds with the airy delay of dark matter, achieve sonic supernovas with the resounding swirls of nebula, experience an uncharted galaxy of sound with the warmth of singularity, and achieve a stellar rotation of sonority with Pulsar. Or get creative and create presets of your own. Black Hole can load as many as 127 presets via MIDI, all accessible via the preset list on the Eventide Device Manager for your Mac or PC. Black Hole opens boundaries with 2 types of infinite reverb, infinite mode and freeze mode. The scope for creativity with this pedal is almost unending. Check out the Eventide Black Hole at eventideaudio.com.
I just don't
what did
like
you say, Matt?
Feel.
You never. You
don't like
you
the don't way they feel. And when we had the onion, it really smelt bad. So it kind of put me off for life.
What was the onion?
What is the actual model? 325? Was that?
I think it was 325. Yeah. It was
the John Lennon one, basically.
It was this John Lennon one that, when we were at GAC, basically, you know, I feel like enough time has passed so we can talk about it now. But basically, someone just found it Like it was in the warehouse and it had been there for like 5 years or something. And someone had just found it. It had been delivered and then it had got lost in the warehouse. And yeah, one day someone just found it, went, oh, I found this down the warehouse. It's not on stock. And we opened it up and it smelled so bad.
It just, like, I think it was just the whatever they finished the case in inside, you're not supposed to keep a guitar in there for like 5 years.
Yeah.
I don't think it was anything really inherently like wrong with the case or the guitar.
No, not at all.
That it had
not
been sat around for a while.
And, it was just really musty and oh god, it smelled so bad.
But I've just never vibed with them. I guess I've never found one that I'd. I think the basses are cool, but guitars I'm like. Not so much.
You've got to try this 330 that I've got. It'll change your mind, honestly.
Maybe.
So good.
Maybe.
Next time we're allowed to actually see each other in person, you should come around and try it out. It's really good.
It's weird that, you know, obviously for the last few years, I've obviously done the podcast remotely, but you guys used to do it in the same room. I don't know, on a side note, if you've seen some of the TV programs that are out at the moment, like MasterChef, The Professionals, where they are literally doing the entire TV program socially distanced. And it's so bizarre to think we're
going to look back on the side. What, they're doing it like at home, you mean?
They're like... So the contestants are like further away and normally tasting session where there's like four people all judging it. Now there's like, they can only have two because the table's not big enough to sit four people 2 meters apart. And the professional chefs that are like in the kitchen can't all be in the kitchen at the same time. So one's like got headphones on, like commenting on it from a distance. and Bake Off's the same. I think they're like all in.
Bake Off, they all had to. Yeah, they all had to go and like stay somewhere.
They all stayed at the hotel with their families.
The Bake Off bubble.
Yeah, the Bake Off bubble.
Sounds like a delicious bubble to be in.
Yes.
eating Bake Off food.
You guys could podcast. We could probably podcast all in the same room. We just need a really big table.
Or we just do a bubble and then you three are the only people that I see for months on end.
Imagine that. Terrible. Imagine if you guys all committed to just seeing me.
It'd be like the TikTok house.
Awful. Yeah.
Now, before you move on, I just wanted to just touch on something that Mark brought up earlier, just with regards to Against Me. Something I found on Instagram a couple of weeks ago that James Bowman, who's the other guitar player in Against Me, has started making pedals. And so his Instagram is Bowman_audio_endeavors, Bowman being Bowman. And like, it seems like he's just making kind of really short runs of like clones of other things. Like he made three harmonic percolator clones.
Oh yeah,
and
awesome.
He's making like a load of clone clones and stuff like that. And yeah, it's just really cool. Like, you know, Against Me, I absolutely love that band, always have done. And you know, it's cool that he's kind of doing something in the guitar world as well. I think it's really, really neat. So I'd suggest people check that out.
Looks like he's they've all kind of got names, but only one of them has like proper artwork on it, which is the Fortune and Glory, which looks really cool. Actually, it's like a treble booster. Looks nice.
Yeah.
Very
cool. Yeah, bloody cool.
Very cool. Now, you know, we're getting closer and closer to the I'm sure, listener, you're very well aware, the pedal movie. And and Matt Knight, you recently got involved in something that's the result of that.
Yes. I think we might have briefly, very, very briefly mentioned it last week, but I think they were only teasing it at that point. But Chase Bliss said, in conjunction with the Reverb Pedal Movie, there'll be some cool additions to their Reverb store or the Pedal Movie store at 4 p.m. UK time last Tuesday. And I was like, pretty sure it's going to be Chase Bliss doing a ZVEX Fuzz Factory, which sounds bloody lovely. So I set an alarm on my phone and at woke up early, woke up at 6 a.m. Just refresh the page all day. I loaded the webpage at, I think, like 4:02 and then just kept hitting refresh until it went live. And then at one point, like, the product listing came up. I didn't even read the listing. Didn't even look at what the pedal was. just made sure I clicked on the Chase Bliss one and then just added it to my basket, bought it, then tried to load the page so I could actually look at what I bought, at which point the Reverb website had crashed. And then by that point, I think there was a video demo from Joel at Chase Bliss being like, yeah, this is the ZVEX Chase Bliss Fuzz Factory. And I'm like, great, at least I know I bought the right product. But it was interesting because obviously for the last few weeks, a few weeks ago, I said I've never owned a Fuzz Factory. I've always wanted one. I think they're wicked. It was the first boutique guitar pedal brand that I remember really, really being into. It was like ZVEX. I'm like, oh, it's so cool. You couldn't get them anywhere.
Nothing sounded like it when it came out.
No, and they actually, about a week before the launch, they actually did a ZVEX put up a really cool video, which was an animated history of the Fuzz Factory in like 3 minutes. And it was kind of cool because I think he'd done another pedal before that. And there was one store in his hometown that were like, oh, you know, we want some more of this one, or can you make something else? So he was like, I'm going to go and make a Fuzz Face, built a Fuzz Face clone. And it just sounded terrible. So he swapped resistors out for pots, and then it made all this crazy squealing sound and did all of that. So he took it to the shop and they were like, who's going to want a fuzz pedal with more than two knobs on it? And he went, no, I really think there's something in it. And it wasn't until, I think he said, PJ Harvey was on tour. And the guitar player came through the music store and bought one. And then he told all of his friends, and then they all bought one. And then there was a year between him making the first one and then that guy buying one. And they sold 18 units in that year. And then the following year, they just were like, they couldn't make enough. And that was it. Wow. It was like the birth of the Fuzz Factory. And it's been their most successful pedal to date. And I had no idea how many they've sold. And they've done so many variations. And I didn't realize that Joel... Corte works at, who is the owner of Chase Bliss, worked at ZVEX for like 8 years.
Oh, wow. Oh right, okay.
So he was really close to the building and manufacturing design of some of their products and stuff like that as well. So I think, you know, for him it was quite a nice personal project. But what's cool about it, it literally turned up today. So it's got the same five controls that you've got on a normal Fuzz Factory. So volume, gate, comp, drive, and stab, or stability. But they've also added a resonant low-pass filter from the Condor, so you can get these massive kind of filter sweeps. But because Chase Bliss pedals have two foot switches, they've made a bypass foot switch and an auxiliary foot switch, which does a whole bunch of different stuff. So you can get it to like sweep the filter, or you can get it to like max out all the controls, but it's still 100% analog, but just with digital control. So all the knobs can be digitally controlled. You can, you know, use an expression pedal to change the, you know, the stability, you know, the feedback, pitch. So it's kind of the ultimate version of the Fuzz Factory. And I think the great thing about the Fuzz Factory is there's so many magical moments, I think, that people would say, oh, I dialed it in, I could never dial it in the same. And now you can like actually save it as a preset and then go back to it, which I just think is amazing. It's like opened up a whole new... I think it's just opened a whole new door of like Fuzz
Factory.
That's
it, isn't it? That's what people want these days, isn't it? Being able to save a preset and being able to do that with the sort of the tonal quality you get from some of those older pedals.
Reintroducing the Old Blood Noise Endeavor's Black Cap. Previously available in extremely limited quantities for Black Friday, this year Old Blood are committing the Black Cap to their permanent product line. The Black Cap is a dual asynchronous tremolo, a uniquely voiced interpretation of the White Cap. The Black Cap retains the analog tremolo side of the original and takes the highly functional digital tap side into the realms of harmonic tremolo, allowing the player to toggle series and parallel and run analog into digital or both side by side. That plus volume boosts for each side, ramp mode to shift the speed via holding the tap switch, and an expression jack for external tap controls, the Black Cap is a slice of extremely cool. Plus, this year for Black Friday, Old Blood Noise Endeavors are running a 15% off all products from Black Friday through to Cyber Monday. That's the 27th to the 30th of November, or November 27 to November 30, as you say. So grab a bloody good deal from a bloody good brand at oldbloodnoise.com. This episode of Guitar Nerds is brought to you by Shergold Guitars and their latest electric guitar, the Provocateur. Celebrated by Total Guitar Magazine as one of the most refined single cuts on the market, with endlessly satisfying playability and a flawless set of tones, the Shergold Provocateur combines remarkable specification with a retro vibe for a unique and bona fide rock guitar. From the brand that once powered the likes of Joy Division and is now championed by modern guitar pioneers and So I Watch You From Afar and many others, comes a fresh and exciting range of electric guitars. Designed by legendary British guitar luthier Patrick James Eggle and featuring a roasted mahogany neck and a solid mahogany body loaded with USA-made Seymour Duncan pickups, it's easy to see why Guitarist Magazine officially voted the Provocateur one of the best electrics of 2019. You can find your nearest Shergold dealer at shergoldguitars.com. And if you're not in the UK, don't fear. Many UK-based Shergold dealers have super awesome international shipping options to guarantee your Shergold will make it to you in the most far-flung of places. Proudly stand out from the crowd and discover yours today at shergoldguitars.com. Shergold Guitars. Be your own original.
Yeah, so I was, you know, super, super pleased to see that, and yeah, turned up today. Serial number 17. So I'm guessing it may well have been based on the time that you ordered it, because I spoke to someone else who ordered one. He got 310, and we live like 20 minutes away from each other. So I'm guessing I just got in there super, super early. Not gonna flip it on Reverb, you know, for £2,000. As tempting as it might be to quadruple my money, but also at the same time there was a Earthquaker and I can't think of the other Death by Audio collaboration called the Time Shadows, which was two reverbs in one box, which was just sounded bonkers. It was like a polyphonic sub octave reverb.
Oh yes.
Wow.
With a filter, which again also sold out, I think, yeah, within like an hour. But yeah, just, I think it's super cool. I'm so glad to see collaborations like that. And I mean, such a classic design. Fuzz Face came out in 1995.
So, yeah, so it's the 25th anniversary this year.
Yeah, so...
That seems like a very long time ago.
Well, 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was a very long time ago. So yeah, I think it's great, and maybe it'll change the way that Zvex do some of their pedals. I don't know, but just like Mark wants to collect every Rickenbacker, if you go on the Zvex website, how many variations of Fuzz Factory they've made with different
is that going to be your next thing?
Yeah, I'm going to collect every Fuzz Factory.
Mate, you cannot stop until you get the candle.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the candle that was vibrato. The one.
We should really get Mr. Zachary Vex on the podcast.
Okay.
Because he, yeah, I mean, he's just created some of the best pedals ever.
Yeah.
In the last like 25 years. And some really crazy designs. I was on the website and I forgot they did that. And I think they still do it. Not that I've seen it for sale, but the Invento box, which I think was their, you basically buy it, but you build your own circuit inside, but they give you the components to build three of their pedals. And I think the idea was that they were going to release more and more modules and then build it in, but I don't think it ever took off. As we said last week, it's quite often pedals with a modular design in some way can be tricky to introduce into the market, I think.
Yeah,
of course.
But yeah, this is super cool.
You know, speaking of pedal collections and stuff, did you guys, I don't know if you will have seen, but a friend of the podcast, Chris Oliveira Gardner, he has an incredible collection of vintage MXR pedals. He sent me some pictures of them, which he's let me repost on the Guitar Nerd's Instagram. So dear listener and, you know, co-hosts, if you haven't seen this, you should go check this out on Instagram.com/guitar nerds.
Is that how it works now?
Yes, I don't know why I said it like that. But yes, go check out the Guitar
Open
Nerds.
Your web browser, type in HTTPS.
If you go to World Wide Web. But yeah, if you go onto Instagram and check out the Guitar Nerds Instagram page.
Where can we find that?
If you... I'm so old. Anyway, so Chris owns every single vintage MXR pedal that they ever made.
I saw this post and I saw you said that, and I didn't understand what you meant when you said he owns every vintage MXR pedal they ever made. Do you mean, so what does that, what time span is that?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure when he cut off that, the, you know, the where, what was vintage. But even he owns the Paperweight, which was a pedal that they released, which was literally empty. I think it was just a paperweight. And in 1982, they did a Western Winter NAMM special, which where the switch just increases the brightness of the LED and doesn't actually make a sound, which is great. And he's got that as well. But like, take a look at the range of stuff he's got. He's got some absolutely wonderful examples. Matt, what's the Phase 100?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
What do you mean? What is it?
Should I get it? Like, is it better than the Phase 90?
It's 10 better.
Oh, it's 10 better. Right. Yeah, maybe
10 better. If I remember rightly, so you had the Phase 45, which is a two-stage phaser. Is it two or four? Phase 90 was eight. So I'm guessing Phase 100 would maybe...
That would be 10? Four.
No, wait, I think actually... Sorry, no. I think Phase 100... They do a different one now. So Phase 100 has... it's a Phase 90, but it has the four waveform controls, but it's the same four... Oh, God, I can't honestly remember which one it is now.
Does it
How
go
many
slower?
Stages it is.
That's all I want really slow phase.
I mean, they all go pretty slow. How slow do you want it? Like...
Oh, there's two. I'm looking on the website now. There's so many. You've got the 100, the 90, the 95, the 99, the 40, the vintage, the 75 vintage Phase 45, the EVH right. Phase 90. They do a lot, basically.
Yeah, so basically, the Phase 90 was the first one. which was a four-stage phaser. They then released, I'm guessing what would have been a cheaper version, the Phase 45, which was a two-stage circuit. So basically, it's a much mellower phaser, and it will sit in a band mix more. It's less prominent.
Joe, you need to stay away from that. That's
yeah.
We had all these people saying that the Phase 90 was just a little bit too aggressive. Like we needed something a bit more subtle. And Joe's just like, oh, someone just say something mean about me. I don't know.
And then Phase 100 is actually a slightly different circuit to Phase 90 and the Phase 45, but it's also got the intensity control, so those kind of different waveforms.
So I mean that really is just a Phase 90 but a bit more.
Yeah, it's probably about, I'd say, maybe 10 more than the Phase 90. I still think the best one you can buy is the Phase 95, which is the mini one, because you've got the script version on there, the script or non-script version, and you've got the 45 or the 90. So you've got everything in one, unfortunately, mini pedal box, because no one likes a mini pedal because your foot is the same size.
Here we are. I found a 1979 Phase 100. That looks good.
I actually had a vintage Phase 90 for a while. Bit breaky. Just bought a modern one.
No, that's not going to be the case. I want a vintage one.
Isn't that basically the same for all old pedals like that?
Yeah. Bit breaky, don't bother.
Just get a new one.
Old stuff.
Unless
is
it's a
good.
Boss pedal, because they don't break. We all know this, you know. But
what's your cutoff though, Joe? That's what I want to know. What's your cutoff for old?
Joe's out there like stocking up on loots.
So you mean cutoff?
Yeah, I've got this great rendition of Greensleeves that I'm going to go and put to Elizabeth the First.
Loots and Ludes, the Joe Branton story.
Yeah, 1979 is the latest time that I have set on my reverb searches.
Okay, so what happens next year? Is that going to go to 1980? Does vintage increase with like modern time?
What, like classic cars used to?
Okay. So
1979 is
that's
the
it,
definitive.
That's
the end of awesomeness. Was okay. 1979. That was the last year of everything being cool.
Okay. What year did the first At the Drive-In record come out?
At the Drive-In were fine. They were a precursor to the Mars Volta, but they transcend time and space. The Mars Volta.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
they're so much more than linear time, as it were. Anyway, speaking of the Mars Volta, Matt Knight, you were also involved in arranging a rather lovely pedal for Juan Alderete. Over the last few weeks.
Yeah. So I was expecting to hang out. I was really hoping to hang out with Juan at NAMM, and Nick turned up, and it's like, oh, it's no Juan, because I think he was going to perform on the stage as well, and he's like, oh no, he's really really sick, and we didn't find out about it. Well, I got an email from his wife a couple of days after NAMM, while we were on holiday in the desert. And we were out for Jay and Vince, who I work with, were out for a meal, and we're just gutted, obviously, you know, such a good friend and, you know, such a, like, a terrible accident. And obviously he was in a coma at that point, and we just really wanted to do something. And Vince has been working really hard. We were like, right, well, VB2 is like his all-time favourite compact. So we were like, why don't we just get one refinished in the Mexican flag, which he's obviously super, super proud of. In his heritage, and we had like a custom 3D printed like rubber base for it, and Rich Alder and Ash put together like an amazing sort of display box, and we sort of all chipped in and sort of helped get it sorted, because just he's such an awesome dude, and you know, such a contributed so much to my musical life as well. Really wanted to make sure that we did something special for him, because one of the first proper gigs I ever went to was Red Hot Chili Peppers at London Docklands, supported by the Mars Volta. And
that's cool.
That was the first it was so, and I was talking to him about it, not this year, but obviously last year. I was like, so weird that, you know, I stood in the crowd and watched you. I, at the time, was probably only a handful of people in the crowd that were like, who'd actually listened. The album hadn't come out by this point.
The album would have come out because one didn't start playing with them until after the first record came out.
No, I think
because it's Flea who plays bass on the first record.
I think this was early 2001, but I'm pretty sure it was just before the record came out. So they were supporting them. And I think maybe one single had come out by that point. The record came out shortly after, but yeah, probably only a handful of people in the crowd that like actually like cared, I guess, <Yeah. laughs> at that point. They hadn't, you know, I don't think they'd made as, obviously hadn't made as big impact as they had now. I was just like, man, like how weird is it that we were like both at that point of time, and that all of the things, all of the ways that, you know, life could take you, we end up sitting together in like your studio with you, with the bass that you like played on that record. It was just like bizarre. So he means a lot to me, and he means a lot to Jay. I know Jay, who I work with, seen the Mars Volta, I think, 8 times. So we just really wanted to do
Jay's old band, Auto De Fe, is named after a Mars Volta lyric.
Yes, yeah, which Vince was also in. So we just wanted to do something really special for him, and I really hope to see him next year. And I think everyone wishes him a, you know, speedy recovery. But gutted we won't get to see him at NAMM, because obviously there's no NAMM in January. So
no NAMM indeed.
Yeah, wanted to do something nice for him, and he messaged us back, and he was super pleased, and it made us feel, you know, really nice about it, and you know, really hope to get to see him soon.
Yeah, it was really cool. A really cool thing to do. Now, there might not be a NAMM, but there is a Black Friday. And so, you know, I think we should talk about some of the new things that are coming out with Black Friday round the corner. I guess we should start off by talking about some black-themed pedals. Old Blood Noise Endeavours are reintroducing the Black Cap, which they had last year. Do you remember talking about this at last year's... around Black Friday? So Old Blood Noise Endeavours make the White Cap, which is one of their tremolos, and they introduced the Black Cap as a limited edition run tremolo, a part analog, part digital tremolo that allows you to blend kind of either stacked or in series, it's very cool indeed. They're actually reintroducing the Black Cap as a standard line pedal for Black Friday. It's a standard line pedal from Black Friday onwards, so it will become like a part of their, you know, the standard pedals that you can get, which I think is...
So is that different to... Cool. Sorry if I'm jumping ahead here, but is that different to the Black Fountain?
Yes, yeah. So the Black Cap, it's basically a double-sided tremolo that you can ramp the tremolos. One side is like a digital harmonic, the other side's analog. You know, it's a super cool, like, double blendable tremolo in one box. I will be extremely excited to see that become a standard line, because I think that when they did it last year as a limited edition run, it was very, very popular. So I'm glad they've taken the decision to make that a standard line thing. And then, you know, they're going to be doing 15% off, as was mentioned at the top of this podcast. They're going to be doing 15% off everything on their online shop from Black Friday to Cyber Monday. And we love Old Blood Noise Endeavours. An absolutely blooming lovely bunch of people.
Sorry, Joe, I've just found the listing from last year because it wasn't actually on their website.
No, it's not yet. As we're recording this, I did check with them. They're quite happy for me to let everyone know that it's coming out. But yes, it's not as we're recording this. And if you're listening to this on the day it comes out, yeah, it's not happening until Black Friday.
So that's why I couldn't find anything.
Yes, I can't find anything here at all. You need to find 2019's listing. If you look for, dear listeners, as well as hosts, if you search for the for the Black Cap, you'll find it, but it will be like on posts from last year where they talked about it. But
they've got some really cool stuff in there. I'm just in there on the store on their site now, and they got some cool stuff. They do posters of that are like sketches of the pedal artwork and stuff.
You get that. You get that with every pedal.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
The booklet for Old Blood Noise Endeavors is always a poster.
I was doing the same, Mark, and there's some wicked t-shirts on there.
And they've released some records as well. The Old Blood Noise Tape Club. I didn't realize that was a thing that they did.
Yeah, they've supported bands and released bands, but also they have a fantastic thing. Now, me and Matt spoke to them a bit when we had them on our on the Friday special episodes, but they have their own Bandcamp website where they release music that the two of them, that Brady and Seth, make together.
Nice.
And they essentially...
Bandcamp website, you say?
They've got their own Bandcamp website.
Where do you find that?
It's on the World Wide Web.
Can I find
web.
It through their Facebook website?
I think if you...
Sorry, Joe.
That's fine. Yeah. They basically on their records, they have like a track per pedal, so it's kind of like different tracks will be showcasing different effects.
Oh, okay, have, cool,
which is quite cool, but it's still very, very musical, sort of a lot of it sort of ambient, you know, instrumental stuff. But it's really cool. They're really cool guys.
The more is it XLR pedal? So it's basically like a kind of multi effects, but for
MAW,
vocals.
For vocals, it's in like one of their regular housings and stuff. I didn't know they did half this stuff. I need to do a bit more.
That's new. The more.
Oh, is it? Okay,
fine. They were demoing it at Summer NAMM last year.
Oh right, okay.
Do you remember?
Oh really? I thought it was this year.
Who knows? The years have all blended together, considering I haven't been out of my house for about 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. They're actually, Old Blood Noise Endeavors have got a couple of things on their way to us for Gear of the Year this year. I think we're getting a Black Cap, and then what is the other thing that they released this year? I think the
Fault V2?
No, the Visitor's not what came out this year, is it?
I don't know.
There's another thing. There's another thing coming out. Another one. But
not
I'm,
the Minim.
No, not the Minim. That's already.
Yeah, yeah. We've talked about that quite a lot.
I might buy a t-shirt.
These shirts look really good.
T-shirts are really good. Yeah,
it is the Visitor, by the way. It's the Visitor, which is their multi modulator.
If you're getting a t-shirt, Mark, let me know, because maybe we can double up on the postage.
Yeah, that sounds good. All right, I'll let you know. We'll do this offline. We don't need to talk about this right now.
No, let's talk about it now.
What's your address?
Your card details? Two Lockkeepers Cottages, Old Ford Lock, London E3, 2NN. That's it.
And what's your phone number?
It's 01818118181, actually. Great. Yeah, good. Thanks for asking.
That one's for the US listeners.
Oh, dear.
Other black theme pedals, Eventide, the Eventide Black Hole Reverb.
I'm very excited about this.
I am extraordinarily excited about this. I was speaking to them this week as well. And again, this is a pedal that they're submitting for Gear of the Year this year. And I think kind of when it came out, we were like, oh, this is cool. But we didn't talk about it too much. And, since then, I've actually checked it out loads. And it is... absolutely, completely mad.
So, well, I mean, what came first, the plug-in or the pedal itself? Matt, you probably know a bit more about the history.
I think
of this.
The plug-in came first, I think, and then the pedal. I mean, the original algorithm, I think, was in their massive rack unit from the 90s.
It was, yeah, that's right.
Predates the space.
It predates the space.
Gotcha, okay.
And then that algorithm found its way into the H9, and obviously now was one of the more popular, I think, algorithms, so it's moved its way into the Black Hole pedal, which, I mean, it does look very, very cool. Absolutely very, very cool.
But I think it's five different sort of reverb presets, essentially.
Of that algorithm?
Yes, five different things that are very much named. So I think there's like the Nimbus, the Dark Matter, The nebula,
the singularity.
The singularity, yes.
Oh, man. I mean, the names are all absolutely perfect. They totally, I mean, that's all I need. Just come up with a great algorithm and give it a cool space name. That's basically all I need.
Yeah, it's pretty rad. And so you get those, and then, of course, because it's MIDI controllable, you can obviously load up to 127 different presets for the black hole.
I mean, it's nice that there's a gravity control. I mean, that's always good. I mean, it is
amazing. Turn that off. Turn that off. Play guitar on the ceiling.
Yeah, yeah. I always think it's amazing with the H9, like pulling up an algorithm like that, and there's like 50 presets just for that one algorithm. You're like, how could you get so many sounds out of, and so many like different sounds? I mean, I'd love to see, like, there was a specific one they did for the H9 called the Time Space, which is delay, reverb, and chorus all in one algorithm. So it's like three effects.
That's all the effects. That's all of them.
You can run in series or parallel. But I think this is really cool. I think people who are looking for a more ambient reverb, there's a lot of those out there. I think this is a great option. I mean,
it's a great shout.
I know that I think we potentially didn't like the design of it when it came out, but I really want to revisit the Eventide Rose, which is their analog delay with all the modulation stuff on it.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
I've watched some demos recently, and I was like, it sounds amazing. I'm like, I think we kind of poo-pooed it first time just because of the way it looked. And actually, I'm like, this sounds really good. Joe, one of these might have to, one of these Eventide pedals might have to go on the board build for the great
brief. The black hole. I mean, the black hole has two different types of infinite reverb. So that's everything I've ever wanted.
Will it be like that Simpsons Treehouse of Horror episode where Homer becomes 3D?
One of the best episodes. What series is that from? Because I've been doing I've been watching a few like different people's takes on like when the Simpsons started to go bad, and there's like people the kind of point that people say it goes bad is the Armand Tamzarian episode, which I think is series 9. So this one, this is series 7. This is still in the good zone.
It's in the classic when you had like Conan O'Brien like writing for for the Simpsons.
Yeah, this is like John Swartzwelder, David S. Cohen. Yeah, it's like some of the big names, I think.
Basically, if you could sum up what we're saying is, if you could sum the Eventide black hole pedal into an episode of The Simpsons, it would be the Treehouse of Horror from season 7, where Homer goes into 3D world.
I tell you what, we're getting a lot of stuff coming through now for Gear of the Year, and there are some super cool things that we're not going to be able to go into depth on this episode, but I'm very much enjoying the new Empress Compressor Mark II. You know, much to Jay's distaste.
Don't play that card with me. You should say on the podcast what our conversation was, and that maybe not, you know, the bit that I said, but the bit that you said, the follow up afterwards, what the person what Empress said to you after you got in touch with them.
It's true. Yeah, the guy I was talking to from Empress.
So just so people don't think my kind of disinterest in compressors is, you know, quite well publicized. And Joe was like, oh, look at this, guys. It's a new compressor which we're getting. It's so exciting. And I was like, yeah, sure, fine, okay. I mean, you know, just play a bit harder. There you go. There's some compression. And then you said that the people from Empress said what to you?
They were surprised at how excited I was. about this release. but yeah, I am. I thought the first Empress compressor was fantastic. Big box compressor, and they've basically brought it into a small sort of single standard housing. They're doing it in two color options, blue or silver, which is great. They're also doing a bass version and a regular guitar version. But you know, for like an in-depth compressor, you know, that gives you a lot of, you know, it gives you all the things you want. It's a multi-band compressor that gives you a mix control as well as, you know, separate attack release controls and an overall tone. And then it gives you like gain reduction and input levels, you know, via LEDs. But it's very, very good. The original one was fantastic. The new one is great. But yeah, we're getting some cool stuff. We've got one of the Drybell The Engines, their preamp.
Oh, I don't even know what that is.
Oh, yes, yes. It's like a, I think it's part plexi, part vox voiced, I think.
Okay.
Like a double voice preamp, and you can change the order of them. But everything that, you know, Drybell have done so far has been absolutely fantastic. So I'm very much looking forward to plugging that in. We've got the Chase Bliss Automatone preamp here as well. We decided it did technically come out in 2019, but it didn't actually, they hadn't made it.
Yeah, I thought that qualifies for this year, I think.
So we decided it didn't qualify last year because of that. So,
right.
So it's here this year, and we've got one here, which I'm very excited about. Something that actually comes out today on the day that this podcast airs, well, for the patron backers, it came out yesterday for regular people, but the Keeley Hydra, which is their new tremolo reverb, which seems to be a real popular pedal at the moment, combining tremolo and reverb into a single box.
It's really all you need. If you think about it, like, if you've got just a really good sounding amp that doesn't have trem and reverb in it, if you want just a classic guitar tone, those are the effects that you need.
Yeah, so how exactly. Do you know how that differs? Because they already do they do the Verbo Trem, that's what it's called. Yeah, which is a tremolo and reverb
is
in one.
Not, no, do you mean Vibo Verb?
No, the Verbo Trem.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've pulled it up. I knew that they did one, but I couldn't remember what it's called. But yeah, we've definitely talked about this before, the Verbo Trem. It looks like this is a signature model, so maybe it's just kind of a redesigned. So this is the Verbo Trem was the signature model of Eddie Heinzelman, who is a session musician in kind of the country world, and maybe they've just done a version that isn't a signature version. I don't know, but yeah, interested to see that, because as Mark says, it is really all you need.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the Hydra is one of the only ones I've actually been able to sit down with out of everything that's turned up here, and it is really good. Like, it gives you exactly what you'd expect. So you have separate reverb and tremolo controls. So you can choose, like, you know, room plate spring, and on the tremolo side you've got a sine, a harmonic, and a vibrato setting. And then you can choose the order that they're going into each other. Plus you've got like an overall mixer between the two sounds. Really good. All fit into a compact pedal as well that still has like a, it's still stereo, and then still has like a separate tip ring out thing if you want to control the reverb and the tremolo independently via that.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
Very cool.
I think we don't talk about Keeley enough. I just went to the chorus modulation section, and they've got loads of stuff that I mean, some stuff is obviously quite old, but if you want like chorus or tremolo, they've got the tri-mod, which is their, I mean, I think their main thing is this kind of pedal housing that's got three algorithms on it, bit like the Bubbletron, which had filter, phaser, and flanger. But the Tri-Mod, which has chorus, flange, phase, the Rotosonic, which is Leslie, Vibroverb, and Univibe. Obviously, the Verbo Trem, which I'm guessing is R&T. I'm not sure what that is, Mac, and then Harmonic Trem.
Reverb and Trem, mate.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, but then they've all should have reverb and trem, so I don't know if there's maybe a different, maybe they're in a different order. Vibroverb and the Dynatrem. So they've got quite a lot of tremolos out there. But apparently Robert Keeley is the master, apparently, of code, programming.
Right.
Loads of builders have said he is the one when it comes to like coding.
Isn't that Bill Gates?
The algorithms. Yeah, him and Bill Gates, too. You know, incredible boutique pedal designers. But I know that I think Keeley's actually helped design some other pedals from other manufacturers as well.
I mean, the first time I remember hearing about Keeley was all like the modded Boss pedals that came out kind of in the, I don't know, late 2010s. late 2000s, sorry. That was my first.
Well, no, way before that, right, Matt? You've been doing boss mods for years.
He's been doing. Yeah, I think he's been. I think he's been modding boss since like the early 90s.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay. Right. I had no idea.
I think it was interesting because there was a. I don't know when. Again, absolutely, someone we should get on the podcast, but. He only really modded pedals and then had a couple of his own. And then I think about like 5 or 6 years ago, actually maybe less than that, they switched off doing all of the mods. And if you remember, all of the mods went to Mammoth Electronics and they were doing all the Keeley mods on behalf of Keeley while they just focused on building other pedals. And then they've only done their own ones since. But yeah, I think Keeley's probably been... company, yeah, I would say probably since the early 90s.
Right, okay, well.
Quite a long time. I know he's been in the industry for a very, very long time.
Let's have a look. Yeah, Keeley, I think Electronics, he's an interest- Wikipedia, the home of true lies. 2001.
Oh, right, okay. I thought it was way earlier than that.
Yeah, I assume that there was like modding and stuff going on before that. But yeah, Keeley Electronics
when he went legit.
Started when he went 2001. Clean. Yeah.
But man, yeah, they've got a lot of great stuff on there. Just some stuff that I forgot they'd launched that I'm like, oh, I remember these pedals being really good. So yeah, definitely a brand we probably need to talk about a little bit more, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the Aria. Which is their compressor and drive in one box.
I know you're talking.
They've done a limited edition kind of housing, which is like neon blue and neon pink. Just looks amazing. But they do these, I haven't really tried them properly, but they do the dark side, which is the fuzz with a rotary flanger, phaser and univibe on one side and then a fuzz on the other. And then the Luma, which is their fuzz and... like Hall Reverb on the other, which is supposed to be your sort of My Bloody Valentine, like shoegaze pedal.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was that first one you said?
The Dark Side.
I mean, that sounds like Joe Branton in a box. Fuzz and vibe and, you know. That's
phaser.
Sounds right up your street, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, that is, it is exactly what I want. I'm very excited by that.
It's just a shame it was made... after 1979, I
suppose. Yeah, I can't buy it, unfortunately, because of that.
Can't buy it.
I'd love to, but I can't.
Yeah, sorry, I'm afraid I can't buy this.
My hands are tied.
Now, that's actually, we're coming to the end of this week's free episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. We are, of course, continuing over on our Patreon, which is on worldwideweb.patreon.com, and then a slash in the forward direction, followed by Guitar Nerds. All one word, no full stop.
Or lowercase.
Where we're going to be talking about some stuff that's come out this week. Maybe we'll take some questions. It's unlikely. But we have some questions to pull from. You can, of course, join us on Patreon for as little as $1 a month. At $1 a month, you'll get this episode ad-free and early, which is lovely. Then you've got the $5 and $10 tier, which give you access to all of our back catalogue of episodes, the Patreon exclusives that run every week, and if you're in the $10 tier, you get your name sung in a glorious song at the end of each week's episode. You can of course catch us on all the social medias with @GuitarNerds, and join us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/GuitarNerdsForum. Thanks very much for tuning in. We'll be back next week with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Cheers, gang.
Bye.
Hi.
The guitar nerds. The guitar nerds. Tractor for intense sayers, Adrian Day and Nate Matthews, Sean Arbor, John and Glenn. Oh, Rob Grewell, Tucker Amadon, Ernie Cooper, Ross Edwards, Nate Nagel, Stephen Wood, and Alan Sherman, Dave Lee, and Jake Gray, Scott Kennedy, and Blake Wiley.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.